Tuesday morning, and welcome to the Lady Light Podcast, an inspirational podcast. I am your host, Kimberly Gladney, and today we are concluding our book club series. And so I hope that you have enjoyed the book of choice, which is entitled In God's Creation, Devotion for the Outdoors by Barbara Baranowski. And so I hope that you have been able to spend time this month in the great outdoors, you know, time to simply be with God and to recall God's magnificent creation. And listeners, what inspired this podcast for me was one morning I was in prayer and it just came to me. I just started thanking God for even, you know, the birds that fly in the air, you know, the flowers that we see, the trees, the things that we often just rush by and don't even take thought of. I just begin to thank God for that and just think about the miracle of creation. And we know in the book of Genesis, in an amazing book called the Bible, in the first book, which is Genesis, it starts out in the beginning, God created. And for those who are Bible readers, we know from day one through day six, God created. That's what he did. He created day and night and heaven and earth and the seas, grass, fruit, trees, the herb that yields seed, right? Stars, sun, moon, animals, and of course, ladies, you and I, woman, man and woman, God created. And so it is so magnificent when you just sit down and you really think about creation, you know, all the animals and all the variety of plants. It's just, you know, wow, it's just mind blowing. And so that's what this month has been about, just getting out there, recalling God, as many of us are in preparation for Holy Week coming up and Easter, as some celebrate, or even Resurrection Day. Some are yet still in Lent. And so this is all preparation and just recalling, you know, how awesome our God is. And so I want you to know today we are blessed, truly blessed, to have my friend and seminary colleague join the podcast. And so, yes, her name is Melanie Stein, and she is joining us today. So Melanie has worked as a professor in environmental science. She has done ecological research, also worked in environmental and engineering consulting. And then currently, Melanie, she teaches science for K through eighth grade at a private school. And ladies, Melanie is joining us from Virginia. So listeners, will you join me in welcoming Melanie to the Lady Light Podcast? Welcome, Melanie.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. I'm very happy to be here. Yeah. I'm excited for our discussion.
Yes, me too. And I am just thrilled that you are here, Melanie. And so we will just get to it, okay? And so first question for you, Melanie. So what inspired you to follow a career path in environmental science?
Well, I think that a lot of it has to do with growing up and in an area, a very rural area, and spending a lot of time in the outdoors as a child. My dad was actually a pastor in a small town in Virginia, and we live near a national forest. And there wasn't a whole lot to do around there other than to play in the woods and the creeks and the trees and around where we lived. And I just really got comfortable being outside and learned to appreciate the beauty. And just that's where I felt closest to God as well. Even though I spent a lot of time in the church growing up, I felt always closest to God when I was out in nature. And I also had the opportunity to see how nature was being damaged or harmed by different activities, and just felt this strong sense of wanting to protect it. And that stayed with me through into college. And when I was in college, I really enjoyed my science classes. And so it just seemed like a natural fit for me to go into the environmental sciences.
I absolutely love that. And Melanie, share with the listeners where exactly you grew up.
So I grew up in Rockbridge County, Virginia. So it's on the western part of Virginia. It's on the edge of what is considered Appalachia, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area. The largest city that anyone may be familiar with might be Lexington. So I grew up south of Lexington in the southern part of Rockbridge County in Virginia.
That is so awesome. So, how has your research, Melanie, in ecology inspired a greater love for God's creation?
So that's a very good question, and one I've thought about quite a bit because it definitely has, like, my research has definitely enhanced my appreciation for creation and for just my overall respect for what God has provided us with. And it's the complexity of it. I just feel like I come in contact with complexity and the beauty of creation and nature every day. My research that I've done, it was just it is also it also took me to a variety of areas. So I've done research in the White Mountains of California. I've done research in Glacier National Park in Montana. I've done research in the mountains of West Virginia, in the hill country of Texas. And all these places had it's so much beauty to them, very different. And some just were just very awe-inspiring, especially in the mountain, any of the mountainous areas I really enjoyed being in. And so I would say that the two main things were this being able to see the complexity and being able to see the details of that complexity in my research, and also just being exposed to these different very beautiful areas while doing my research.
Yeah, that sounds so amazing, Melanie. Just all of those locations and the sites, I can only imagine, that would inspire my greater love for God's creation. Like you said, the detail, it's amazing, all the details, of creation and how different spots are different. There's so much detail in each location, and so that's just amazing.
And yeah, just the complexity too, like just the process of photosynthesis. So even without traveling anywhere, just looking at a plant and thinking about the process of photosynthesis, which is how plants use water and carbon dioxide and sunlight to make plant material. It's just mind-blowing. Just to stop and think about that. It's I don't know. I think that's just so awe-inspiring.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. That's what it is. Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it. And so, as a science researcher and teacher of environmental science, have you ever struggled, Melanie, with the topic of science versus God's creation?
I would say that it's been on a like a it's a perspective that has changed over the years. I wouldn't say I've struggled with it since maybe I was in my late teens, really, maybe early 20s. In myself personally, like, I know the outside perspective or sort of the cultural perspective. I definitely feel that tension and that struggle. But where I am now with it is that I see science is asking certain questions, and religion and is asking different questions. So I don't take questions that I would use for religion and try to apply it to my science, and I don't take questions from my science and try to apply it to my religion. And I think they complement each other more than being any sort of area for tension, even though I'm very aware of that tension that is within our broader society. And I felt that working as a scientist, people would be surprised that I do go to church or that I believe in God. But in my mind, there's no tension, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. And I like what you said, like they complement each other, and that's so true. Yeah, that's so good. And so, how do you enjoy, Melanie, how do you enjoy spending time in God's creation? What are some of the things that you do?
Well, I love hiking, whitewater kayaking, although I don't have time to do that much anymore. They're my favorite things to do. Plus, I just like walking in the woods. If I have a minute even just to spend by myself with some quiet time in the woods, looking at flowers, looking at trees, I just really enjoy that. But I also like the more of the intensity of doing longer hikes and whitewater kayaking as well. I was trying to think. I really love almost anything I can do outside. I've also rock climbed and backpacked, done fly fishing. But I would say any of those things, I definitely enjoy. But I know I'm really strapped for time, as a lot of people are, and so if I can just get 5 minutes outside around some trees or flowers for a few minutes, that's also very enjoyable.
Yes, very enjoyable. You've done some amazing things there. Hey. That's awesome, Melanie. I love it though that that was your, upbringing, because that's something for a lot of children, not only children but adults, that's what's lacking. We don't spend as much time outside in nature as we used to, but like you said, if we can just get a little time out there, that makes a difference. And it is truly beneficial. And so Earth Day 2024 is observed next month in April. I want to say it's April 22nd. What are a few practical tips, Melanie, that you share with your students and also that you can share with us regarding taking better care of planet Earth?
Yeah, so this is a great question, and I'm sure we've all heard some of the tips that get thrown around a lot, like recycling and using public transportation. But what my go-tos for tips typically are tend to be to reuse as many items as possible. So this in terms of clothing, I really advocate for going to thrift stores or doing clothing swaps, and trying to just hang on to our clothes, even when it goes out of fashion, trying to just keep wearing our clothes as long as possible to get as much use out of them. Another thing is just reducing how much stuff we buy. I think that these just reducing and reusing our products could go a long way. And also, especially to reduce plastic usage, which is bad for the environment as well as our health. It's becoming more and more obvious that plastic products can be harmful to our health. And I also always tell my students to, because there's a lot of pressure to recycle, there's a lot of pressure to reduce our amount of gasoline we use, for example. But we can only, I know we can only do so much. So I always try to remind students too, don't beat yourself up if you cannot do everything as best as you would like. But making the effort to do what we can when we can goes a long way as well. And another thing I always suggest is just to spend as much time in the outdoors as possible. Getting off the, and I mean, I do a ton of work on the computer, but just getting off the computer as much as possible and just enjoying being outside, I think is a great way to just really learn to appreciate the outdoors and save a little bit of electricity while doing it.
Yeah, that's so good. That's right. Get off the computer. Look, that saves our eyes. Like
Oh, that's true too.
getting away from the screen, it saves your eyesight. Really, it does. Okay. And then also you said plastic. So do you have advice? Because yes, we use a lot of plastic here in, the United States of America, in which we live. What is something that's better, or that we can move away, something other than plastic? That you would suggest.
So that's a hard question because it's very difficult. One of the first things to do is just being aware of where we use plastics, and depending on our lifestyles or what we tend to purchase, just try to think of alternative ways. One way is to buy some food in bulk. And this depends on where you live and what you have access to, but some stores do offer you the option of bringing like a mason jar and refilling your mason jar with oats or beans or some dried fruits, things like that, where you don't have to purchase them in a plastic container, but you can bring a reusable mason, glass mason jar, for example. Some th simple things are just when you purchase vegetables or fruits at the grocery store to not use one of the plastic produce bags, but just put them in your cart and wash them off real well when you get home. And then plastic baggies, very convenient, I know. But just there's other things like using some reusable or resealable containers and rinsing them out, or just thinking of alternative things. Like I like to use glass bowls with a top on it to take lunches in, or even sandwiches and things like that. So I always just try to get something where you know you'll be able to reuse it a lot and it'll get used and it doesn't involve plastic. But it's impossible to go.
Yeah, that's so good, Melanie. That's so good. I think about all the, like you said, the plastic in the stores,
Things
the
that you can do
plastic
to avoid using
bags.
plastics, I think, is one of the better things. And it does get into our bodies too. Yeah, and the plastic bags at the grocery stores, a lot of plastic is really hard to recycle. And so, I mean, even paper bags aren't perfect, but if you don't have reusable bags or you forget them, try asking for paper bags because the plastic bags are one of the worst things.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think even think about my pantry right now, I'm guilty. And I always say I'm going to recycle the plastic ones because I have a pantry now, listeners, that's filled with plastic bags. And I know I'm not the only one.
Oh yeah, everyone,
So
I think 90% of people have that exact same situation.
yes, but yes, Melanie, these are such great tips. And I love that you talk about recycling clothes, ladies, because we can do that. I will tell you, I have always been one to shop at consignment shops, thrift stores, and recycle my clothes. And most people would never know that. I still have clothes from when I was in high school. Okay, I graduated from high school in 1996. And so I still have clothes in my closet from 1996 that I still pull out and wear because the trends, come on, it always comes back. It just goes in
That's true.
circles. And
Yeah, I
so
think the
that is
trends are
awesome.
when I was in college are back in style now, and I'm like, oh, that this works out well then.
Exactly. So great tips. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, so I'm
Well,
going to
thank
now
you.
share. Let's see. We're going to go to the book of choice in God's creation, Devotions for the Outdoors. And so we've been reading through this book, certain devotions I've been sharing this month. And so today I'm going to share a brief devotion from the author, Barbara Baranowski, and it's The Grandeur of God. Again, the title is The Grandeur of God, and she's coming from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 28 through 31. And so this she opens up with a portion of that scripture, and it says, this is the Bible, New Testament book, Matthew. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I will tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, were dressed like one of these. And so, listeners, think about that, okay? Think about that. If you've read the Book of Solomon, you know exactly what Matthew is referring to. So, think about that scripture. And so, let us read. Here are words from the author, The Grandeur of God. And so, it was an exciting July week. My newly retired husband was biking the 470 miles of the Blue Ridge Parkway in Virginia and North Carolina. I drove ahead in the truck, parking at overlooks to supply food and water. The drive takes the rider through farmland, mountain ridges, and valley towns. The variety is stimulating and refreshing. We both enjoyed the landscape, whether driving or biking. Wherever the ride took us, the summer flowers fill the air with fragrance, and the landscape boasted brilliant colors. The birds, the bees, and butterflies allowed us a window into their busy, beautiful world as they danced around brightly colored blossoms. At the end of the day, we drove into the nearest town for a shower, satisfying dinner, and good night's sleep at a motel. As remarkable and beautiful as these sights are, our God has promised us splendor, splendors untold if we trust in his greatness for the present and the grandeur of eternity. No matter where you are, as you enjoy the beauty of this day, reflect on his faithfulness in providing for daily needs. Thank him for the way he attends to the details of your life and for the beauty from his hand. And she closes with this prayer. It says, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible beauty and indescribable sights you provide through your creation. Nature indeed declares your greatness. Amen." And so, yes, what a beautiful devotion, what a beautiful prayer, and what a wonderful time it has been with Melanie. Melanie, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yes, and best to you and all that you do. Well, I hope that you have enjoyed today's podcast, and we'll tune in again for more Tuesday morning inspiration. Again, special thanks to Melanie Stein for joining today's podcast. And as always, special thanks to you for listening. And it's not too late to get out there in God's magnificent creation. Bye for now, and have a blessed day.